Long before the internet tainted the minds of the masses, exposing us to some of the grossest forms of sexual deviancy, children have been targets and victims of some of the most brutal sexual atrocities imaginable. And whether sexual crimes against children are actually on the rise these days, or perhaps simply being reported more often, we need to be wise in the ways we conduct our own affairs so as to keep our little ones safe at all times and in all places. Some of the most unlikely among us can be the most dangerous among us. That's why we'll be learning how to keep our kids safe from the seducers among our children. That's today on Licensed to Parent. Well, hello and welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis. Our host is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rosel, and our goal on Licensed to Parent, as always, is to take what we're learning each day here at the Proving Grounds of Shepherd's Hill and share it with you and with other parents of teens so that you can be better prepared to raise your kids in a way that honors God and is so effective that you won't need a residential facility down the road. And Trace, I should mention to our listeners now that even though the subject matter on today's program is disturbing at best, I do want our listeners to know that we're going to be discussing the topic without going into all the gritty aspects of it. Nonetheless, the topic may not be suitable for younger listeners in the room. It is, however, available for you on our website at licensedtoparent.org. And when we hear some of the egregious stories that involve sexual crimes against kids, I know for me it's very easy to want to bolt the door, to shut the window and lock it, and never let my kids go outside, even though my kids are older now. But that's true, especially these days when pornography, for example, seems to have become an American staple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how the proliferation of pornography couldn't fuel the sick minds of the garden variety child molester and spark an appetite in others who perhaps wouldn't have otherwise given it a second thought. As a former policeman myself, as our guest is a policeman, I I've been out of it for 30 years now, Rich, but I can tell you that if you knew everything about everyone who lived in your neighborhood, you might actually think more seriously about that door and window thing.
I'm not listening. I'm hearing nothing.
The little town of Martin, where we broadcast out of here in northeast Georgia, has 300 people in it, and I think there's about 7 registered sex offenders.
Wow.
in that little,
wow,
little town. We live in a crazy world, and I think that we've been long overdue in putting together a radio program like the one we're going to do today, because this is a very, very important topic.
It is important. And Trey, sometimes it is thanks to those in law enforcement who discover the dangers that hide all around us. It's because of them that we're able to become wise as serpents and yet remain gentle as doves as we raise our kids. And our guest today certainly fits the bill. Patrick Crow is his name. He has over 30 years of law enforcement experience as an investigative police sergeant. That includes 20 years as a major crimes investigator and hostage negotiator with the Monroe County Sheriff's Office in Rochester, New York. Investor Sergeant Crow and his colleagues in the Major Crimes Unit investigated murders and other reported homicides, suspicious deaths, physical assaults that resulted in serious physical injury, and so much more, including sexual assaults and crimes against children. Now, what brings him to the program today is a new book that he's written. In fact, it's entitled Seducers Among Our Children. It's from Lighthouse Trails Publishing. He's also author of the book Chronicles of a Rochester Major Crimes Detective, Confronting Evil and Pursuing Truth. Now, today, Patrick is in full-time ministry, though still operating as a law enforcement person. He's with Millstone Justice, which is a nonprofit child advocacy group that educates parents and family members and teachers, daycare employees, caregivers of all sort about the threats that are posed every day by child predators. And incidentally, Patrick is himself married. He's got 3 grown children and 2 grandchildren.
Well, Patrick, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Thank you. It's an honor that you invited me. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you, brother. Was I overstating the issue when I alluded to the fact that there might be a lot more creepy people out there than most people think?
Actually, you were right on target. There's a lot of predators in our midst. What we're going to focus on today, gentlemen, is talking about the ones you're unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you know where the junkyard dogs, you steer clear of them. But it's those criminals that we don't know about are the ones that are going to affect us the most on a day-to-day basis.
But before we jump into this, I'm just curious. We are hearing more and more stories these days, it seems, about instances of sexual predators preying on children. Is it just that we're hearing it more because more cases are being reported, or do you think there actually is an increase in the number of incidents these days?
I've been in this business a long time, probably too long. And I remember when I investigated these crimes before the internet was even invented, and how these predators had to operate, and how parents dealt with the issue a lot of times. But with the internet, and you got the whole world in the palm of your hand now, this has increased both our victims as well as our predators. As I describe in the book, it takes somebody who may have a propensity for sexual perversion and enhances that propensity and what I call a slippery slope of iniquity. Yeah. They get exposed to all these horrible sexual pornographic images and material online, and it enhances what's already lurking inside them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a combination of things. I think the way that our society operates today, the children today are much more electronically educated over many of their parents. They know how to navigate a smartphone, online, a computer, probably better than most of us baby boomers now.
Absolutely.
Yep. Becoming the older generation.
Yeah, and these guys get on the internet with their perversions, and they can, you know, the click of a mouse, they can find 100 other people who have the same perversion, which justifies their perversion in their eyes. They fuel on that, and I mean, how could that not add to the appetite of these guys to go out and act on this? But there's another argument that says that they don't need to go out there and actually grab a child. They can watch it on film and get their thrills another way. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the problem with that theory is voyeurism will take their perversion so far. Mm-hmm. And again, I discuss this in a book. A sexual predator, a person who has a diabolical scheme to be with children sexually and fantasizes about it on a frequent basis, voyeurism isn't going to solve that. Isn't going to solve that desire in them. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, they will reach out and target a child. I believe it based on my experiences. Mm-hmm. Some may wait years, decades before they actually act on those inner desires. However, as you pointed out, the internet has taken something that is a satanic epidemic problem in the human race today and made it pandemic.
Yeah.
Because it does just what you suggested. It basically just amplifies.
And justifies.
And justifies it. You're right. I mean, it's taken what Hollywood does on the television and the movie screen.
Yeah.
And takes it to a whole different level. And men, you know, they're men chase images. Mm-hmm. And once they get those images in their mind, they're gonna pursue it.
Yeah.
And statistically, the man is the predator. I mean, we have female predators. But when you look statistically at the ratio, it's mind-numbing. Mm-hmm. Men look at images and feed their perversion through images.
Yeah. You categorize people who sexually offend children into three groups. What are these groups, and why do you categorize them that way?
Well, the first group is what I would call the molester. There's the child molester. That essentially is any person who's ever offended a child sexually. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm not defending these people in any way, shape, or form, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're a predator. What it means is they've committed a crime against a child in a sexual manner. And that could be motivated by different aspects. Could be just they're a criminal that took somebody who's vulnerable. They were acting selfish. You know, the criminal element tends to be what I would call, they don't tend to take in regard to other people's feelings, other people's consequences. They just do what they want to do.
Compulsive.
A molester can fit that type of pedigree.
They're more compulsive and less calculated, probably.
Yes, that's a perfect way of putting it. I'm lost for words on that. With a sexual predator, okay, you have the pedophile is a person that has a deep-seated desire to be with a child sexually. Mm-hmm. And they may never act on it. They may never act on it. So they literally live amongst us, and we never know because they you know, they pretty much keep it in the closet, so to speak. The sexual predator is that pedophile that steps out of the dark and starts acting overtly on these desires, mm-hmm. and targets a certain child, a certain age, a certain look, a certain sex. They usually have a very, I would consider, a very definitive type of victim they're pursuing.
Yeah, and this guy is calculated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that parents really have to be on the lookout for. You know, that junkyard dog, that guy we know about that might have raped somebody, as you say, violently down the road, and he's out of prison. He's somebody to be reckoned with. He's somebody to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But if you, as a parent, know how to protect your children against the diabolical, scheming child predator who's in your midst, unwittingly, you'd have no idea, and you're a good parent. Mm-hmm. A lot of good parents fall victim to this person because they wear a facade.
Yeah.
I mean, we've arrested people who are pediatrics, pediatric emergency medicine. We've arrested pastors, youth pastors. We've arrested the favorite coach for decades in a school. We've arrested the favorite teachers. Does this mean these professionals are all that? No. What it means is pedophiles generally like to be around children. They pursue careers to work with children. And I'm not whitewashing this and saying everybody who works with children is a pedophile. Not at all.
Right.
I've been influenced by some great teachers, some great priests in my life, some great coaches, and they weren't pedophiles. However, tragically, these criminals infiltrate themselves into those type of professions mm-hmm. because they can hide there.
Right.
And they usually rise to the top and become one of the best in their profession because of what they're pursuing. It's just their deep down motivation is very perverted, as opposed to the practitioner who's working for the right purposes.
Patrick, you were talking about we as parents need to be able to protect our kids. And, you know, the first thought is, well, great, what do I look for? I can't look for and know all the people around me nearly as well as I can look at and know my children. So what do we need to be watching for? What signs in our kids might be indicators that there is a problem going on or a potential problem going on?
And is there a difference between a kid who maybe has been molested maybe once or twice and one where there's an ongoing situation? Is there different things to look for?
Parents need to look upon themselves as under shepherds of the Lord, and the kids are their flock. Mm-hmm. And like a shepherd, you need to know your children inside and out, and you need to understand you're the parent, you're not their buddy, you're not their friend.
Thank you.
You have to love them, you have to shepherd them, you have to chastise them, and sometimes you have to discipline them. And unfortunately, the discipline part comes real hard for a lot of parents.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, communication is the key. As you would read in my book, communication, communication, communication. Talk to your children every day. It's easy in this world not to communicate with our children. I'm not talking about just finding out where they got to be today, what they got to do, what they did, what they didn't do. I'm talking about having a personal conversation with every one of your children every day about what's going on in their life. And it boils down to two questions. What bad thing happened to you today? Because we all have a propensity to want to complain. So that's an easy question. Anything upset you today? And a lot of times it might be you, the parent. Be prepared for that answer and be able to talk about it. And then the second question would be, tell me what good thing happened today. Who's making you feel good about yourself and your life?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's going to give you some insight.
Mm-hmm.
Because with all the adults our children are exposed to, let's find out what adults are making them feel the best about themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. However, you as a parent, those are the adults you want to just make sure you establish a relationship with and find out what makes them tick, what motivates them, and making sure they're doing it for the right reasons. And you can do this very subtly. Your child doesn't know what you're doing, nor does that adult.
Yeah.
And when you start to see somebody want to isolate your child from you, who's stepping out of their normal role, say a teacher wants to start taking your child fishing or wants to take him to games, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, when isolation occurs with an adult other than yourself, that's something you as a parent got to perk up and deal with.
Yeah.
And basically take over. Do it subtly. You can't go around accusing people. I know what you're doing. You're trying to isolate. No. Find out what it is they're motivated and maybe interject yourself and say, geez, I'd love to go to that game too. Or, yeah, no problem. I've been wanting to take my son fishing as well.
Yeah.
Maybe he can take us both. However, keep this in mind. The predator needs to isolate the child before something happens. That's the key component.
Yeah.
They're going to find something that's what I call a common denominator between you and your child. That usually comes to what I call during the courtship phase of this diabolical scheme. And once they establish that, they're going to want to then infiltrate you, your relationship with the child, and separate that child from you very subtly, because they've gained your trust. It might be that wonderful coach that tells you your child has some extra talent that they need to work on a little harder. Mm-hmm. And so they offer to work with that child on a little more personal basis, which requires some alone time. Again, does that mean they're doing something wrong? No, not at all. However, you as a parent have to be kind of aware of this type of activity and put yourself in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
So that's my first counsel for parents, is be involved and communicate with your children, and don't let your guard down.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a new book of conversation starters with for our kids, because I think the digital age has got everyone so isolated and engrossed in their own personal endeavors and these little blue screens that we've forgotten how to interact with our kids.
You're right.
So
we've lost that art of communication in many facets of our life, but most importantly with our children. You're absolutely correct. And it's hard work, because a lot of times when the children are hitting adolescent phase, they don't want to communicate with us.
Well, they got social media friends. They got a million social media friends who are going to tell them what they want to hear.
Right. And the perps, they know what these kids are into. They know what they like.
Yep.
And the first thing a perpetrator is going to say during that seduction aspect of this scheme is saying, you know what? You can talk to me. I understand you can't talk to your parents. So make me that person you want to talk to about things. I'll listen to you. And I have really good advice on how you can navigate through this type of thing and avoid problems with your parents.
The old divide and conquer.
They latch onto the child that way. And, you know, there's so many single moms out there today looking for a male representative in their child's life.
That's right.
So they're just, you know, they're looking for love in all the wrong places, and they're not bad moms.
Right.
They've
been
left out on their own by husbands who are deadbeat and don't want any part of raising that child. And all of a sudden comes a guy in the neighborhood or in the apartment complex who lays down a good scan, presents himself as great, has proven himself over a period of months or maybe even the past year that he's okay, he can be trusted, and then all of a sudden the courtship starts.
And
that's how, you know, so many of these type of crimes have occurred. When we investigated these type of special victims, we do what we call a timeline. How did this perpetrator get access to this child? And we do what we call a timeline. And we go all the way back to the origin. When did you meet this person? How did you meet him? And how did you come to give this, your child, off to this person and trust him with the most prized possession in your life? And you know what? The story's the same. It's about trust. It's about courtship. It's about seduction. And it's about control.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Patrick Crowe. He's author of Seducers Among Our Children from Lighthouse Trails Publishing. You'll find that on his website at protectingthechildren.com. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation right after this.
Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by screens. Have we entered into a techno-utopia
or a virtual prison?
Is our social experience richer and deeper, or more shallow
and artificial?
Discover insightful answers to these questions in the documentary DVD, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. You'll learn from media experts, church leaders, and inspiring individuals and families from across the country, including Trace Embry and students from Shepherd's Hill Academy. Most importantly, you'll discover how God's Word addresses the unique media challenges we face today. Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. Available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
Hi, this is Robbie Zacharias. It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent. I remember talking to somebody in the entertainment world once who said their entire target audience was an 18-year-old, and typically an 18-year-old male. They said the influence they wield in a culture around with their friends is enormous. So a ministry like this, to rescue those who have been seduced along the way, I cannot say how important this is. And to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit LicenseToParent.org.
You're listening to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and you'll find us online and on Facebook and on Twitter. It's LicenseToParent.org. And our guest today on the program is Patrick Crowe. He's author of a book that's got some rather disturbing content. It's talking about seducers among our children and how we as parents can protect our kids from child sexual predators. Trace?
Well, Patrick, I want to ask you, what are some of the more common ways that parents leave their kids open to victims of molestation without even realizing it?
Well, as we discussed earlier, it's usually taking trust in somebody that they shouldn't be trusting. Mm-hmm. And I've stated in my book, many great parents, good conscientious parents, fall victim to this type of perpetrator. For the simple reason that they trusted the wrong person, that they were too quick and too vulnerable and naive as to what was going on. So what parents need to do is educate themselves about how these perpetrators operate. Be aware when somebody wants to start isolating your child away from you, outside the normal relationship boundaries that they have with you and your child, that's the red flag you need to look for.
Sure.
Because the abuse can't occur without isolation.
True.
And the other thing is they're going to make it easy for you to fall victim to that. In other words, they're going to offer. They're going to see your vulnerability as a parent. Are you a single mom who needs childcare? Do you get home from work a half hour before your child gets off the bus? Is this person stepping outside their normal relationship with you and that child to offer that help? Now, looking at that, that would be a great thing. But if it's a man, I would be concerned about that. If it's a woman who brings a child back to an environment where there's men or older boys, I would be concerned about that. That's just one of numerous examples of how a parent should be mindful that if their child is isolated with somebody outside the normal relationship of that adult, that's where problems are going to start.
Yep.
That would be key.
I want to present to you a scenario. To keep peace with the extended family, two parents agree to give their 20-year-old nephew another chance to take their two young sons, 10 and 12 years old, on their third annual camping trip to the mountains, which is just maybe 20 miles from their home. The kids seem eager to go, but this is the same annual camping trip where this same nephew, who has since accepted Christ, allegedly molested the younger of the two boys the year before. What do you say to these parents who want to be forgiving toward their 20-year-old nephew? I mean, after all, you know, Christ tells us to forgive. How do you counsel that parent?
I'd counsel that parent similar to counseling pastors who struggle with letting these known perpetrators in their church and fellowships to worship and be fed the Word of God. Keep them away from children. Period.
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't get a second chance. That just shouldn't happen.
Right.
You're a shepherd of your child, and you're putting them under the control of this person who's already demonstrated that they are someone not to be trusted. And so without getting too detailed as to why, it's just bad, bad wisdom. It's there's no wisdom in letting your child go with somebody who's already offended a child. It just shouldn't happen. That person shouldn't be around children, and it's what I tell pastors. There's nothing wrong with somebody wanting to come into your fellowship and hear the Word of God and receive the Lord, but that person, if they're truly there for the right reasons, will abide by your contingencies saying that you sit over here and you stay away from our children, you stay away from our single women, our single mothers, and you operate within the confines of what I need you to operate in.
Yeah.
And if that person steps outside that confines in your agreement, then they're out the door.
Yeah.
And so what I would say to that parent about their 20-year-old son who's violated a child already, not to even consider letting them go with that, that person.
I think there's a misconception of what biblical forgiveness actually is, because reconciliation through forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean restoration. And we've gone through this before in our program. You don't restore someone like that. You can forgive them. You can reconcile by agreeing to stay in different zip codes and still forgive them. But I think it's a matter of wisdom that that person has lost his right this side of heaven to be alone with my child. I just think that's wisdom, and it doesn't make me an unforgiving Christian to do so.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the forgiveness is entirely different than restoration. Mm-hmm. And you can restore that person in some areas of their life. If they've been to prison, they want to get back in society, and you as a pastor, you as somebody who's being a counselor to them within the fellowship, that's great stuff. But when it comes to children, it's off limits.
Yeah.
And if they don't agree to that, then they're really not where they're supposed to
that's
be.
That's a sign that their issues aren't over.
Absolutely. The issues will never be over.
Yeah.
And Patrick, I think you made a very good point to wrap it up here, and that is about the role of the parent as the shepherd or the under-shepherd under God. If someone has wronged me personally, and I want to forgive and be back in whatever level of fellowship with that person, that's one thing. But if the person has wronged my child or another child, and I am putting my child in harm's way potentially, that's a whole different animal. And we've got to remember our roles as the individual versus our role as the parent or the shepherd over our kids. Our guest today on Licensed to Parent has been Patrick Crow. He's author of Seducers Among Our Children from Lighthouse Trails Publishing. Again, you can find that on his website at protectingthechildren.com. Patrick, thanks so much for carving out some time for us. And we would love to have you back to continue this conversation.
Be my pleasure. Thank you.
And this is Licensed to Parent. You'll find us at licensedtoparent.org. And while there, remember, you can listen to past programs, you can check out Trace's blog, and learn more about our parent ministry, Shepherd's Hill Academy. And remember that the work we do is only possible because of the help of generous partners just like you. If you'd like to join the work we do here at Licensed to Parent, please consider a tax-deductible gift to help offset the costs of producing this program and to help provide scholarships for families who might not otherwise be able to afford residential care. You can give securely online by clicking the donate button at the top of the page at licensedtoparent.org. Our program coordinator on Licensed to Parent is Daniel Fasina. Our technical producer is Carl Peets. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.